Hello and welcome back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. Wash and Word, the hand car washing business, located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we wash cars. We do it by hand. We do a good job, and we do it for the glory of Christ. This is our way of giving back and earning our money to support this ministry and also to support our family. And so if you're interested in supporting this ministry, you simply come on out and let us work to earn our money. Just as Paul continued working to build tents while he ministered for the Lord, we do the same here at the Wash and Word. We encourage you to go to the washandword.com website for all information regarding this ministry and this business. So getting back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we're going to look at chapter 11 and finish that up today, Lord willing. We're going to pick up in verse 45, where we left off, but I want to give you a little heads up what we're going to do today, and we're going to exalt and glorify Jesus in today's message. And you might say to yourself, well, that's great, but isn't that something you should do every single message? Well, it certainly is, and we certainly try to do that. But today we're going to look at some interesting aspects of what it means to exalt and glorify the name of Jesus. And what the first interesting aspect of exalting and glorifying Jesus is to look at a couple of curious scriptures. And the first one is James 4:9, where James mentions that we should turn our laughter into mourning. And I always found that to be a curious scripture. Why would God, who wants what's best for his children, want us to change our laughter to mourning? And then we read in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 7:2, it says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. And certainly that scripture applies to the last few messages we've preached here in chapter 11, where Jesus has gone to the house of Mary and Martha to what they thought would be to visit a dead corpse, but of course Jesus raised Lazarus to life. And certainly that was a house of mourning. But we wonder, those scriptures, what exactly is God talking about? Well, see, the thing about mourning and the thing about being in a state of, I'll use the word sorrow, but not in a sad way, but a sorrow, more of a repentance sort of, you know, in a way where you look at things and it just kind of breaks your heart for the way things are, whether it be in your family, maybe in your own life, or you look around the world and, you know, it's hard to laugh and have a good time when you see so much atrocity going on, so much depravity, so much anti-God and anti-biblical actions taking place in and out of the church even. And so you say laughter to mourning. Well, you see, God wants us to be in a state of mourning, not that we're sad and crying all the time, but that we're reflective. Because isn't it true that when we are going through times of trial and times of struggle or heartache, isn't it true that you're just closest to Jesus during those times? And we don't have to be going through something hard and difficult to be drawn to Jesus. And if we adopt an attitude of mourning, again, not sadness, not crying and weeping or anything like that, but an attitude of just looking around and saying, you know what, not all is good. Not all is worth having a party over or laughing or enjoying to the point of not even recognizing the world around you or the things going on around you. And too many people are using laughter, as it were, to mask the reality of what life is really about. And so God is talking here when he brings up these two scriptures, and he's saying, yeah, balance it out. You know, it's okay to have a good time. You know, all the joy and wonderful life that comes with following Christ. But temper that with a little bit of mourning, with a little bit of reality check, if you will. And this way, we can enjoy the best fruits of Christ while at the same time understanding the reality of the world and the state of the world that we live in now. And those are the things that bring true glory and exaltation to Christ. And so let's go ahead and look at where we're at right after now Jesus just raised Lazarus to life. And we pick up in verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But, there's that word but again. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. Let's stop right there for a minute before we take a look at what took place in this meeting. Let me ask you, if I were to say to you, I'll have a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, would any of you out there know what I'm talking about or who I'm copying there? If you said James Bond, you know, don't be ashamed to admit that you know. But, you know, I think of those words, shaken, not stirred, and I look at what Jesus is doing here on earth at this time, and he's not only shaking the foundations of the Judaic law, but he is stirring it as well. He is shaking and stirring. He's done both, and he has shaken up the norm, and he has stirred up the status quo, and you know what? He did it without war, without terrorist acts. He did it without politics, and he even did it without Jerry Springer or Oprah Winfrey. He has shaken the foundations of the world simply by doing the will of God through the power of God. What a concept, huh? Isn't it true today that you and I can still shake the foundations of the world through a peaceful means of simply being obedient to Christ and to the Word? But here, Jesus is entering a period of his life where no longer can a man who raises the dead and heals the blind and makes, you know, lame people walk, no longer can a man who equates himself with God be ignored. And so these who are being threatened, they call themselves into a meeting. The chief priests, the Pharisees, we assume the Sadducees were there, and it's a meeting of the Sanhedrin, the ruling spiritual council of Israel. And they say to themselves, you know, what are we going to do about this man who is stealing our thunder? Now, make it clear, I would imagine that they didn't come right out. Nobody was actually saying, hey, this man is taking away from our glory. But this, you can bet, is the underlying problem that they're facing here. You see, they're scared, plain and simple. Scared that they would lose the power and grip that they had over the Jews. And again, they wouldn't admit this, but that's what it was. And they, like much of the world today, many people, whether it be in the church or out, they've achieved a certain position, and by golly, they are not going to relinquish it for anyone and for any reason. But you got to remember, that mindset has a price. And for most people, that price is their family, their friends, their morals, and peace. You see, there's only one mindset that truly fulfills, one truth that must be dealt with, and that is found in Luke 11:23, where Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." You know, for all the diversity that we experience in this country and even in this world, and for all of the segregation we have brought upon ourselves, there are really only two groups of people in the world, ever. Today and even back then. And if you are not verse 45, which says many had seen what Jesus did and put their faith in him, then you are verse 46, but some of them went to the Pharisees and went, wah, wah, wah. And anything attempted on the in-between is considered lukewarm. And we all know what Jesus does with lukewarm, according to Revelation. So, we will start off this part of the scripture with a hard truth. A cold, hard truth. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And you might say, well, that's great, but what does that mean exactly? Well, in Acts 4, chapter 12, we read, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And so you are either putting your faith in him for salvation, or you are off to strike a deal with the Sanhedrin, as it were. Or that is, maybe to equate that today, you're trusting in external things of this world, and you have put your faith there. You've got 30 pieces of silver just burning a hole in your pocket. Because again, you are either for Jesus or you are against him. And when Judas went to the Sanhedrin, he chose which camp he wanted to be in. And the Sanhedrin is a ruling council. They were made up of 23 judges that were appointed in every city in the land of Israel. And the great Sanhedrin was sort of like the Supreme Court of ancient Israel. So in total, there were 71 members. And the great Sanhedrin was made up of a chief and a prince and a leader called Nasi. And they represented the opposition. And they were forever gathering together, trying to find a way to get rid of Jesus. And even today, we have a form of Sanhedrin known as the spirit of the Antichrist in the world today. But some might point out that they were off to try and convince and share the miracle with them. But it says but, not and. And so we got to know that there's two groups of people. Ones that are putting their faith in Christ and the others that are running off to try to eradicate this thing that's taking place in Israel. And it's amazing how people can still not believe in Christ after what they just witnessed. The obstinate and stubborn human unbelief, it can persist even in the face of overwhelming evidence such as what we've been reading here in the chapter 11. This incident with Lazarus in the Gospel of John is a clear example of that stubborn, obstinate unbelief that will not believe, even though the evidence, I mean, it's absolutely overwhelming. And it constitutes one of the most remarkable phenomena of all time, how people can just ignore what's perfectly. They're a fool. Well, let's go ahead and continue reading. Verse 47b, it says, this is the Sanhedrin now. They're like, "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." So let's stop right there, and let's just sum this up real quick. The reality of what they're saying versus what they just witnessed, there's only one conclusion, and that is only a fool would deny the power of Jesus. Only a fool would deny the power of Jesus, and that stands today because Jesus is still at work, much like he was back then. And these people were the personification of foolishness, and yet, even still, they acknowledged his power. They weren't denying what he's done. They were just denying the fact that they were worried about, you know, what it was going to affect them. So how could you acknowledge the power of Christ and still deny it? It's just mind-baffling. The truth is, even greatest the enemies of Jesus confessed his reality and his power, even today. But a powerless Savior is no threat, just as a powerless Christian is no threat. And no one truly denies Jesus' power and existence. Maybe they do with their lips, but deep down, God put that in us. And if you continue to fight it or deny it or ignore it, there will come a point in your life where you will no longer be able to accept it. So friends, today as we close, I want to just remind you, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you've been just self-serving for so long, it's time to acknowledge Christ. Because deep down, you know I'm right. And you know there's something out there that you're missing. It's not that you're not feeling complete. And that something is Jesus Christ. Deep down, everyone knows Jesus is real. And his name must be dealt with. So friends, are you either for him or you are against him? What's it going to be today? Well, join me again tomorrow on WMCH 1260 AM at 8:30 Monday through Friday, or come to the Wash and Word to hear our sermons broadcast over 107.1 FM in the parking lot, or go to washandword.com for all the information. Have a blessed day.